Fat Chance by Roy Trumbull, copyright 2009. Chapter 4, Notes. Abe sat down with a cup of coffee and went over the notes he'd taken during his interview with Karen. Apparently, Ralph had not just been a furniture mover. In years past, when many businesses wanted a satellite dish, he'd been part of an installation crew. He'd started out digging the holes for the foundations, and then learned to set the forms and pour the concrete. Just before the market dried up, he was assembling the feed horns and motor controllers, plus walking the customer through how to use the dish and receiver. From time to time, he'd still done that as a sideline. It seemed to Abe that Ralph had been pretty smart, but had grown up with all too few of the breaks that others get. Liquor was his crutch. Rather than pull himself out of the world he'd been born into, he just sunk further down. But what took him to West Shicker? Was there a buddy, a girl, some work? Maya looked at the credit card charges, electronic fund transfers, and ATM withdrawals for anything on West Shicker or its cross streets. Give me some time, Abe. The L.A. fictitious name filings are in pretty ugly shape. Abe shook his head. The database was only as good as the clarity of its entries, and a lot of that work was done by clerks really low on the food chain. There weren't uniform rules on how to break down complex names for filing purposes, either. Maya and Big Olga would have to attempt to recognize entry errors and make sense of them. Abe was over at Steve's Snacks having a piece of peach pie when Maya spoke to him. Abe, I ran into some out-of-state ownership issues, and those filings are particularly nasty because all the owned businesses refer to a common corporate address. I'm going to try and work the yellow pages backwards to see if I can find actual business names. Olga is checking SEC filings. But I do have a purchase at a battery swap station on La Brea about 3 blocks off West Shicker. I looked at the satellite image for the area, and it's at one end of a strip mall. Thanks, Maya. Save the address of that swap station. I'll have a look later. Will do. Strip malls were one of the great puzzles of the universe. They were all over the country, and L.A. had thousands of them. How many people need to have their nails done or rent movies from a really crappy selection? Almost anything could go on in those stores, and probably did. Lottery tickets sold in front, stolen car stereos and airbags sold in the back. Abe had seen it all. His favorite was the Chinese Laundry, with rooms and roommates on an hourly rate upstairs, and the click-clack of mahjong tiles in the basement. The owner paid a weekly tithe to a corrupt sergeant who claimed he was investigating the matter, but it was too early for arrests. Maya gently reminded Abe that while he was out, he needed to pick up a jug of potable water for his apartment. She'd noticed his supply was low. Horace met his brother for a late dinner. I suppose it was inevitable. That furniture mover had installed satellite dishes and was familiar with the typical motor drive and feed horn configurations. When he delivered some desks to Johnson's, he spotted our dish out back. He could see it did much more than move through the geostationary arc. What a piece of bad luck. Wasn't it kind of dumb to leave it out in the open like that? True. It was scheduled to be fenced in, but the work got delayed. A few weeks later, that Nixon guy wouldn't have been able to see the mechanism or the feeds. So one of our own got spooked and killed him. I think that must be what happened. We have security checking on it. Just our luck that whoever did it didn't have enough sense to take the body far away before dumping it. For now, we're going to move training to a company we have in Arizona and make Johnson's look a little more like an accounting firm. We'll turn the training center into storerooms and move in some boxes and file cabinets and old desks and such. When this blows over, we can convert them back. They would have eventually checked Johnson's anyway, because Nixon's employers would have had job tickets on him. Horace sat back and sipped his after-dinner coffee. Ronald thought for a while and then said, "So the plan is what?" Horace said, We've bought a corporate shell in Baja California. The beautiful people will have no trouble taking trips there if we move, but it would be harder to build up our influence in the States. Ronald said, It's a decent backup scheme. I just hope we don't have to use it. When they left, the busboy shook his head. He couldn't understand why someone would order food and then not eat it. This time there'd been two of them. They shoved the food around on their plates like anorexic ladies. Abe drove by the battery swap station Maya had noted. He saw that the battery pack change was automated. That was typical. All the batteries and mounts, regardless of manufacturer, had been standardized in order to streamline the infrastructure needed to support electric cars. Abe's dad had been on the committee that created the standards. There were actually 11 of them, but only the first four were widely supported. The operator was in a convenience store on the other side of the lot. Not too likely he'd recognize anyone who got a swap unless they were cash customers. After visiting all of Ralph's known employers, Abe had a list of his work assignments. He saw that one of Ralph's deliveries wasn't too far from where he was, and not all that far from where his body had been found. He drove back and forth over a 3-mile stretch of West Shicker to develop an impression of the area. Maya recorded the storefronts and buildings so Abe could review them later. In that stretch, he counted 5 bars. Maybe Ralph had gone into one. Maybe his killer had, too. Karen Olson was in a deep funk. It wasn't that Ralph had been the great love of her life, but when someone is snatched away like that for no reason, you can't help but feel a void. She was sitting on a bench in Pershing Square, tossing popcorn to the pigeons and listening to the crackpot orators expound when her thoughts wandered. How was it that Horace and Ronald could make people slim down when no one else seemed to be able to do that? She'd watched them do it again and again. More often than not, chauffeurs and limos were waiting down in the parking lot for their clients. The word had gotten out to the very rich. The move from Culver City to Bellporcino had been precipitated by the Lee's increasingly upscale list of regulars. But how did they do it? And why did their touch invariably induce sleep?